Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are helping you realize it's now or never. I'm running out of ways to say this, folks, and I know it just becomes the old routine. It is now or never. And as we look at all of the different potential changes throughout the different states from the election and this upcoming twist to our current structure of the federal government, do you really see any hope, any ray, any beam, you know, coming around this eclipse of liberty, that we actually have hope that they're going to restore our liberties and actually reduce the, you know, and get rid of all their unconstitutional powers that they've been exercising? I'm here to tell you, folks, they're not going to do it. They have no motivation whatsoever to do it at all. As a matter of fact, there's too many people that have fully bought into, you know, all this unconstitutional government. So what we're doing today is we're getting into the strategy. And when I say the strategy, these are the blows we are going to levy on government if you get involved. You'll be able to actually be responsible for actually pummeling your public servants and your government, because we're going to highlight and point out what they're doing is unconstitutional, and they have no business doing it, and they have no business being public servants anymore. So with that, let me kind of go through some highlights, because these are some things that have kind of been weighing on me, you know, as we see things, because I know I've been telling you that, you know, we have to take aggression, you know, in a different way. And we have to push the issues in a different way. But isn't it ironic how Biden is constantly using military intimidation and hyperbole and rhetoric and even demagoguery as his foreign aid or his foreign policy, as well as his foreign aid policies and so forth? It is not uncommon. Folks, go look at history and look at how many Democrats have dragged the United States into war. Who was the president and what kind of administration was in control when we went into World War One, World War Two, the Korean War? Now, the Korean War, it was Truman. I didn't get us out of that, but still. And going into the Vietnam War, that was Kennedy. If you look at the irony, you know, how these guys, you know, somehow don't even have, I mean, the Democrats are not known for being the warmongers, but clearly the empirical data proves that they are. Now, when we look at the Bushes, do not consider the Bushes as Republicans. They were globalist Democrats. They really were. And so, I mean, when George H.W. Bush came back from Brazil with the Agenda 21 to be implemented in America, he knew that that was going to be a hard pill to swallow. So he needed to hand that over to the Democrat, to a new Democrat in the administration, i.e. Clinton. And this is one of the another reason why Bush had to step down. It was all for globalism. It was all to get NAFTA passed and to get the Agenda 21 moving forward with full steam ahead in America. And the Democrats were dumbfounded, or, you know, they didn't stop Clinton because they were the ones in Congress that allowed this. Now, let's be clear here, folks. The Constitution doesn't allow for political compromise. In other words, if a whole party agrees and they're in power, then they can do what they want. That's not in the Constitution. Or if, you know, we've got a budget and we just have to get to political compromise to get everybody to agree to spend this money unconstitutionally, that is not in the Constitution. we need to start really changing our paradigm and how we look at things. We need to look at things in regards to what is constitutional, what isn't constitutional. And we need to be such a squeaky wheel that we get to a point where our public servants get so frustrated and tired of hearing us that either we push them over the edge where they start doing really stupid stuff, or they just, wave the white flag. And when it comes up for time for re-election, they just don't run again. They become dead weight. They become a lame duck in their final years or whatever their remaining part of their term is. Now, another thing I need to point out, because I've yammered and hammered on big tech. Amazon just made a huge deal, and this deal is significant with the EU. Here's the interesting thing. The EU is not standing for very specific Amazon policies of what they're doing and how they're managing and marketing and so forth. And so please go look at that Amazon deal and then ask yourself, why are these issues so important to the EU? And so when you start looking at that, then you go, well, why is it that we and other nations don't have those same kind of policies? Why is it that we have been subjugated to global businesses? It's almost like they have a full pass in America. They can do whatever they want. They're the ones carrying the torch of the agenda. They're going to ram down your throat your vaccinations. They're going to violate your constitutional rights, and the government's not going to do a thing about it until you actually start screaming that the government is responsible for all of this because they're supposed to keep these businesses in check. Who governs these businesses? The government of business is governed by your state governments. The United States government has no jurisdiction in governing any business, whether it be interstate, international, it doesn't matter. And as a matter of fact, the concept of international businesses operating within the United States with the blessing of the federal government, that's not within the Constitution either, folks. Maintaining sovereignty and protecting the sovereignty and independence of each of these states is paramount. So another thing I wanted to throw out here, because this is actually, because I've actually heard Spokane County, I've heard rumors that maybe they'll bring in Carrie Lake to do their, and there's lots of people that are, really got their starry eyes on Carrie Lake. I'm here to tell you folks, Carrie Lake hasn't proven herself. Here is a woman that has been in mainstream media. I mean, we had something very similar. I forget the gal's name, but she was a anchor for local Seattle television that stepped into the ring to run for U.S. Senate to challenge, I don't think it was Patty Murray, I think it was the other dolt. But anyway, when you look at the credentials that come from a mainstream media, and just remember that they're up there to sell you on something. They're not there giving you the truth. As a matter of fact, they hold more punches than they deliver. And I want you to understand that when you see somebody in the media, I was very critical of Trump. I mean, Trump was not an anti-abortion guy. He had very little conservative credentials. And look today, he seems to be the savior of conservatives. We do ourselves a huge disservice when we really don't hold people accountable to the Constitution. That has to be the metric. That has to be the standard. And that's how we have to look. And so when we actually look at somebody that has done something regarding a career, whatever it is, like Trump was on TV for years, and he was a businessman and a business mogul. Okay, so what did he do? Well, he did very little. He didn't do anything for the conservative causes. He wasn't out, proving credentials to say, I championed the Constitution and created issues that actually drove home very specific things that were good for America. So who is good for America? Well, I can tell you that there's a lot of them, but one that really stands out as far as a person that would be a true leader and a champion for the Constitution would be Michelle Bachmann. There's no doubt in my mind. She would be a much better president than anybody else I can see out there. I mean, there may be a few other people, but I'm telling you right now, Rand Paul has no credentials. He is a demagogue. That's all he is. It's the same thing with Ted Cruz. These guys are demagogues. Not one of them actually really understood the Constitution when it came to January 6th. Not one of them did the right thing. Not one of them is standing up at this point in time and saying, we need to fix this. We need to remove the Biden administration because we improperly chose him. We failed to follow the Constitution. They're not talking like that. And you know what? There's a reason why. I think that maybe they're scared for their lives. I don't know. But I do know one thing. That America deserves true champions for the Constitution. And we, if we really believe we deserve that, then we need to start using the Constitution as our metric, as our measure of how, you know, we look at things. Are we looking at things in context? Do they have the constitutional authority to do that? What the heck are they doing? And placing constitutional context to everything. Has this person actually championed the Constitution, or are they just they're good eye candy in front of the camera? We deserve better. Now, we'll be right back after these next two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I really want to get into the strategy, and I will, but there's one other point I wanted to bring up, because these are the indications, folks, that things are going to get really bad. Now, the home building slump is happening. Now, okay, is this a seasonal thing or not? What you need to understand is with all of the people coming across that border unconstitutionally, all these invaders that are coming here in basically violating our law and now are going to be coming in and being quartered in some type of residence at the courtesy of you, the taxpayer. You're going to actually pay for, and so this is how they constantly bring these invaders in, and they'll place them into these safe zones. And what they'll do is they'll, you know, subsidize their housing. And they will create a large enough safe zone so that eventually they can get registered for voting, because this is what's happening. Illegal aliens, go to the Center for Immigration Studies. Illegal aliens are being signed up by Bill Clinton's Motor Voter Registration Act, which is unconstitutional, back in the 1990s. And so these folks are getting registered and they are voting, and your red states are doing this. And how does this get done? It gets done in these population centers that are strongholds for progressives and communists. They get their progressive communists involved into the bureaucracies of government, and they all hoodwink each other. Yeah, we're abiding by the Constitution, while they're actually making sure that illegals and all sorts of people are able to get registered multiple times if possible, so that they can vote multiple times to throw elections. This is why you're seeing record numbers in elections. What happened? For years and years, for decades, we used to have, you know, under 50% participation in elections. I mean, presidential elections, it was, you know, we would probably, it was a good year if we had 50%. Not anymore, folks. We're getting closer and closer to 100% voting. And all that's telling you is that there hasn't been a change in the tone or the tenor of people. They have been stealing your elections. And this is all being done by using unconstitutional federal laws. Folks, you have to start putting your foot down to say this Motor Voter Act was unconstitutional. All of these things, you know, we have to take back. And these are all First Amendment petitions. All of these things need to be placed into First Amendment petitions. Had some great conversations this week already about getting some First Amendment petitions initiated. And I think we're seeing some, you know, some movement, which is great, because this, and so what we're going to do is, if I have to, I will host these petitions. And what I will do is I will actually write down, you know, who authored any, if there's a specific group or person that has authored any of these petitions, in the parent form, we will identify who was the person that actually initiated that. I mean, it may change by several times, but the initial initiation of that platform, or that petition platform, was done by this person or this group. Because this way, what I want to do is show you that this is really becoming a national effort. That there are people out there that recognize that we need good worded language petitions to teach people how the Constitution is being violated by our own public servants, and how they no longer deserve to be our public servants. Ignorance is bliss. And by waking up the people of America, we are going to create the nightmare we're living. Because we're living in a nightmare. All we have to do is wake up and recognize the fact, and then we can actually create the nightmare for them. Because by waking up, we're going to do the right thing instead of responding like we always do. We can't continue the status quo. We must use First Amendment petitions, and we must use constitutional campaigns. So the whole point of this strategy is initiating a constitutional campaign. Now, one of those things, and we kind of talked about this in the Bill of Rights when we started talking about definitizing the Constitution in the past couple of days. We've kind of covered this, right? And so when we look at that, we actually have to, we have a petition that needs to demand that the Constitution, or that the county commissioners, do two things. So we need to add this into this petition for understanding the importance of definitizing the Constitution. That one, your county commissioners are going to set up a committee that first will definitize the Constitution for the United States, the U.S. Constitution. And so once they have done that, then the county commissioners need to then fund the meeting spaces for and call for delegates throughout the districts for a constitutional convention so that the county actually writes and establishes its own constitution. And in so doing, this constitution will then be placed into hold until all of the counties or enough of the counties within the state have done the same. Once all of these counties have done the same and they make sure that there's no real big conflicts between their constitutions, then they and work together on these constitutions. Then once they've got the state constitutions or the county constitutions done, then they will call for a constitutional convention on the state constitution. And they will do it in accordance with the delegations that each county gets one vote, and that by based on population, some counties will get a greater delegation and than others. Some will only have one person. But this is how you actually take it back, because when it comes to the Seattle area, when it comes to Indianapolis, when it comes to Chicago, however many counties that these big cities actually occupy, they're only going to have three votes, two votes, one vote in what is going to be in that constitution. This is how we lock it down. We remove the powers at the state level, and we move those powers down to the county. What we do is we make the state government a central or a general government so that it doesn't have all powers. It has limited powers, and its job is to protect and secure the sovereignties of the counties. Folks, this is how we do this. And in the entire process that we do this, we should be also working on republic review. I mean, there's no reason why we can't do all of these things at the same time in some respects. I mean, we do have to get the county constitution done first and then move on the state constitution. But while we're moving on the state constitution, we should also already be working with other states to doing the same thing, as well as moving the nation, the republic, down the path of doing republic review. Folks, it seems like a lot of work to do, but it's nothing. It really is nothing. We're not talking about rocket science here. Now, we've talked about a republican form of government. So we've gone into the details of why a republican form of government and the Enabling Acts, and how the Enabling Acts were basically used to establish the states and the bedrock of the state government, and in its creation came from the counties and the people, respectively. So what we need to do is we need to actually start pushing for, you know, that sovereignty of the counties. Now, the next strategy, because we've got between now and 2024, a real problem that we need petitions for. We need states, we need you, and this is an easy petition to do. Everybody needs to demand, based on the Constitution, that there is no latitude that the parties can control your electors, that the electors be released and given to the people, that the people actually vote for their electors instead of actually voting for the president, that we get to choose who our electors are, and then the electors will choose the president. I have full faith and confidence that even if our electors can't do the job, that the 12th Amendment will. Because bottom line, that's what ends up happening, is you're the House of Representatives by delegation. I want you to think about this. Typically, the state legislature, I should not say state legislatures, Congress may have more Democrats in it that are coming from all of these different states and population centers, but the majority of the delegations of states are red. There were 30 states in 2020 based on the election of 2020. I want you to understand this. Even though Congress was controlled by the Democrats, the majority of the states were still red, and had they executed the 12th Amendment, there would have been no doubt in my mind Trump would have been selected. This is why they deliberately do not want to exercise the 12th Amendment. This is why they deliberately do not want you to be able to choose your electors, because they want to actually hedge their bets so that the we'll get into this, because we're going to talk about the Electoral College and the choosing of the president when we come back from these two breaks. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so when it comes to choosing of the president, we the people are to have an indirect election. Direct elections only occur for our representatives. We are to choose. Folks, do you want a democracy? Or do you want a representative government? Because in American republicanism, direct elections are not allowed for anything other than your representatives. In other words, when the states actually allowed the people to directly, because what they did was they did this for the Constitution because they wanted to make sure that the Constitution was really protected, or I should say, that the states were protected by a very limited general government. You want to have a limited state government? Then what you have to do is you need to go down the same path of how we choose our governors. How is it that we're going to move forward in our general or statewide elections? You know, your attorney general, your secretary of state. Those types of offices should be chosen by your elector. They're not your representatives. These are people who need to perform a function. And the electors need to be people who understand what is critical for those people to be able to do their job and support themselves. the Constitution. Now, if you have an elector that actually, you know, champions and supports and votes for somebody who ultimately violates the Constitution, I think what we need to do is we need to actually have something in there that says if a candidate, if a politician who was selected by electors but violates their oath of office, then those electors who actually voted for that politician should no longer be eligible for being an elector anymore. You got to understand, being an elector is, let's just call it a duty, because you don't get compensated for being an elector. But it is your duty to understand. And so, folks, you know, there's plenty of people out there that I think would be, you know, good competition in being electors and understanding what needs to be. And this would actually help encourage people to become more literate on government and civics and understanding the Constitution. Because if we truly want a better government, then we have to understand those critical things that are important in making, you know, and having and securing a good, limited, and defined constitutional government. We can't just hope and it's going to happen. What we have to do is we have to actually use, again, the Constitution as our measure. It is the metrics of how we measure people in making sure that they are adequate. Right? I mean, you want a plumber to understand how to sweat copper and how to be able, I mean, you know, if you certify a plumber in a state and he only can do the new tech, you know, compression, all that stuff, and you hire this person, they come in and now they have to sweat and work on old plumbing and they can't do it. They all create all this damage. I mean, buyer beware, right? Now, they may be bonded, and you may have insurance and those types of things, but you shouldn't be affected that way. If we have standards, we're protected, right? A surgeon would know what to do and or how to do it. I understand there's dynamics, but still, we create standards so that we mitigate risk and reduce any form of liability that could slap us and say, oh boy, now you got to pay the consequences. No, we actually don't. We're not accountable for bad behavior, for actual criminal behavior or activity. When they actually defraud America by taking on credit to pay for things they have no authority to pay for, folks, America's not accountable for that. You know, the trillions of dollars for COVID and COVID vaccinations, we're not accountable for that. This Build Back Better crap, the $1 trillion for that, we're not accountable for that. Any part of the budget, any part of any type of loan that America has taken that has gone for what we would call unconstitutional powers, roles, responsibilities, or what have you, the Department of Education, Energy, Housing, doesn't matter. All of that money that is taken and we spend on, and if there's any, so if we've got money that's come in that year on debt, in other words, people have purchased American debt, and we've used that money on unconstitutional things, all that debt that is accounted for on the unconstitutional things, we are not accountable for. This is why I tell you, when you look at that debt clock, America, you, the people, are not accountable for that. When people say, oh, well, every household has $100,000 debt, unfunded liability, it's almost $500,000. No, you're not. You're not accountable for that. They want you to believe that. These are great scare tactics. Who uses scare tactics? Evil people. Evil people want to misinform you and keep you scared and use the fundamental or primal emotions of fear to get you to behave a certain way. So what we have to do is we have to actually start getting smart, understanding what we're doing and what we have to do. Now, when it comes to the Electoral College, the people, not the party, are to elect our electors to represent any of our, you know, statewide, national-wide positions. So it should be done by the electors. I have, you know, I understand that the president gets to choose his cabinet. But if you really think about it, that cabinet is not as big as you think it is. It's only the Secretary of State, the Department of Treasury, and the War Department, or the DOD. Primaries to eliminate candidates. You've heard me haranguing on this. Primaries to eliminate candidates are not allowed. The parties need to be responsible. If they want to have these things, then, and anybody that wants to run in those things and be associated with the party to do that, well, then you can be eliminated. That, if you're going to play by the party rules, then you have to basically take the consequences of the party. So those people who run as independents won't be thrown into that. They won't be primaried out. And everybody who's running for president as independents will actually be on the ticket, or I should say not on the ticket. They will be eligible for selection by the Electoral College. When it comes down to all these other positions within the state and so forth, it doesn't matter, folks. This all has to be funded and paid for by the parties. I'm going to tell you right now, the parties couldn't afford this. If the parties had to fund their shenanigans, they would be bankrupt today. But somehow they've gotten you to pay for them. Oh, because how you vote. No. And as far as I'm concerned, when it really comes down to it, when we look at how many people are active members, in other words, are you paying your dues to the party? Because the party requires that everybody pay and be registered as a party member. So, in other words, let's just say you can no longer vote if you're not a registered member of the party in that primary. And you can only vote as how you are registered, and you can't change. Like in many states, this is how red states have, dark red states like Wyoming, allows crossover voting. So in their primaries, the Democrats actually vote as Republicans to make sure that the Democrats that they want get elected. And this is, it's like insane how these things have actually been implemented. And how the people were completely oblivious to this. Literally, until people started discovering, hey, what the heck's going on here? Nobody knew that the Democrats were crossing over. Apparently, not enough people knew to where this really was becoming central news. Until people were going, how come we got such crappy Republicans? And this was going on in Wyoming. Because people vote blindly because they trust the party. Well, as far as I'm concerned, folks, this is what happens when you blindly trust a party. Anyway, we should no longer allow states to limit or encumber people who can be chosen for president. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that the field is open. Even if we can't get the electors to choose, don't forget the two most important of choices that you make in your elections every time is your elector and your representatives. If we took the president off of the ballot, this would solve so many problems. We've got to get away from popular vote. We have, and as a matter of fact, the threat of a pure popular vote and a pure democracy is coming because there are organizations out there that are trying to push this, and there are states that have signed up and gotten on board with this. This is why in Oregon and many of these states that have gotten on board with this popular vote crap, you need to have petitions to demand that you choose your electors, that the parties can no longer do this. The parties have proven to be the problem. And the solution is to move us more towards a democracy? Folks, they create problems so that the solution they can enact actually takes us in the direction that that would be destructive for us. We can't allow them to continue to manipulate us like this. So when we come back, we'll kind of wrap up on you know, the Electoral College actually, you know, will move forward on making all elections local. So we'll talk about how you need to actually secure your elections right after these two promos.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me get into this detail regarding all elections being local. Now, again, this is all building off that little thing we started off but yesterday or the day before on American republicanism. I think it was yesterday. We have a right to have our own representation, especially in this American republicanism. Not only do we have a right for our representation, but the government that we establish, the government that we establish and create at our county level, and then at our state level, we demand that they have a seat in equally protecting us. This is how we keep a simple majority, such as Chicago in Indianapolis in Indiana and so forth, Portland in Oregon, even though they may have more people in that city than the rest of the state. The rest of the state can suppress them and keep them from actually destroying the state and invoking communism or unconstitutional government. By demanding equal representation in the Senate and by demanding a representative government for each county, in other words, all counties have at least one representative of their citizens. This is guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution for the states. Why didn't they do this for the state constitutions? Oh, well, maybe we needed more of a democracy. No, this only proves that the states become more problematic. If you want to understand the dangers of democracy, then you start understanding why we have to start undoing these things. Now, getting back to all elections being local, who has a voice and who can endorse or who can spend money on a campaign that they have no right to have a voice or vote in? In other words, the principles of making all elections local is that the only money and the only endorsements and the only thing that can be injected into an election are by those people who live there, are those people who are supporting the Constitution. We have a right as citizens to demand and support we demand compliance to the Constitution and support the Constitution in every corner of this nation. We have a right to demand this. You can go anywhere in the United States. You do not have to be a registered voter in that particular state and in that particular county to walk into and petition a sheriff or petition a county commissioner or a governor that they're violating the Constitution. This is what they're supposed to do. This is what they're doing. And this is what they need to do to fix the problem. We have this right. Clearly, the First Amendment does not create any parameters or any stipulations that constrain a U.S. citizen in demanding compliance of this Constitution. So clearly, we have a right in our elections to demand that nobody from a foreigner, let's call them all foreigners, if it's a city council, if it's your city mayor, if you're not within the city limits and your name is not going to be, you know, on the registers, or I should say on the register or the output for ballots, and you can't vote in that election, then you can't be endorsing one candidate. You can't play partisan politics. Partisan politics is by supporting the party, by supporting a person, but you can play constitutional politics. In other words, you can demand and you can stand up in front of everybody and say, look, folks, I demand that every one of the people in your election take a constitutional test. And it would be my recommendation that you would vote on who had the best constitutional scores. Wow. I mean, that's not actually choosing anybody. That's actually letting the best be selected. Who do you think wins in a county that actually the citizens really vote for those people who score the best on their constitutional tests? Remember, we were talking about plumbers and having standards. We have to have standards for our politicians. And the only way we can initiate and establish standards for our politicians is by using tests. And what is the one test that we can give them? We can give them tests on their job functions in align with the Constitution. Can they take money that is coming from the federal government that is not enumerated within the Constitution for roads, for housing, for, you know, racial, you know, affirmative action, what have you? Education. We could go on and on and on and on. And if they didn't know, and see, this is how we hold these tests, because once you do this test, then everybody gets to see the test, and then everybody gets to see the answers, not necessarily the specific answers that you missed, but they get to see the score, that all the politician scores become public knowledge as well as the test itself. And looking at the test and looking at the questions, this is how people start learning, folks. What I mean by this is when you actually publish the questions for the test, people are going to read that themselves and go, wow, I would have missed that one. Especially when they read the question and then they read the answer and they go, wow, I would have got that one wrong. And known that, you know, these people and how they scored go, well, okay, I kind of understand why they, you know, scored so low, because that was a tough test. Folks, until we start reading the Constitution, all the tests are going to be tough. Until we start becoming literate on the Constitution, then all of a sudden, we're going to have people that won't be scoring less than 80% on these tests, because the Constitution isn't rocket science. It's clearly a contract. Either it's in the contract or it's not. And understanding what that means in the contract is very important as well. So my point is this. That as we start moving towards making all elections local, the most integral part, the most important part of your election process is to ensure that this is not partisan. Every person's name that's on that ballot, make them take the test or highlight them as one who refused to take the test. Then we'll let the voters choose. Because, see, this isn't playing partisan. We had Republicans in the race like Eric Schmidt for the U.S. Senate, who deliberately stayed away from debates and so forth. There's no way in heck he would have actually taken this test because he thinks he's above that. But when we start demanding this test, then you know what? They're going to have to take it, or they don't get voted for. If they want to get into office, they'll actually have to start studying. And this is how we actually create these standards, in demanding every election be local. So, and we'll be happy. And you know what? I'll tell you something, folks. There would be a business. There would be a market for constitutional tests in all, look at every state, every county, every race out there, you know, as far as for elections, like for your mayors and so forth. And what you do, what I would do is I would create an executive test that would be applicable for mayors and governors and sheriffs and so forth. Actually, I wouldn't use sheriffs. Sheriffs are law enforcement. They're not magistrates. Then I would have one for judges, and then we would have one for representatives and so forth, so that you can use them for all the different tiers. They don't have, I mean, if you're a legislator, whether you're at the county or in Congress, there's very little difference. Other than, as it's pointed out, Congress doesn't have to really understand the state constitution, but as far as I'm concerned, they should. They should not be in Congress representing the people if they didn't understand how the protections that the people had in the states. They can't bypass those protections that the people have created for themselves in those states, especially over things that aren't delegated to the federal government. The federal government can't just all of a sudden start doing things. So the whole point in this this process that I'm trying to convince you on, and what we want to do, because I've only got a minute left, is we want to impress on you that the vetting process is a process that will actually make it harder and harder for bad people to get into office and get away with doing crap. Why? Because when you look at the test that they had to take, and you keep these become permanent records, and you see what questions they answered, and then the answers being provided after they've taken the test, and then they do something that actually violates that question and answer. In other words, can you take money from the Department of Transportation for installing roundabouts and blah, blah, blah? And that person actually takes that money, and they said, yeah, I can. And then the test show they got it wrong, and the test says, no, you can't take that money. And then they do it. Guess what? It's not that they weren't told. They were actually informed by actually going through this test. And now you can hold them directly accountable for something that you knew they knew. It is something that they were actually covered in this test, that you can't do that. So then you go to them and say, why do you think you could get away with this when the Constitution clearly does not allow money that's, you know, be spent on things that aren't enumerated? So why did you take that money at the county commissioner or supervisor, whomever, right? Now we can hold them accountable to these tests. And this becomes even a bigger mechanism of holding our public servants and our government accountable. Remember, our government is our public servants. Our public servants have created all sorts of things that are unconstitutional. We have to hold them accountable. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help, and we'll be back on more of making all elections local in our next episode. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.